You get in line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get in line and I'll get a pole, babe. You get in line and I'll get a pole. We'll go down.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan Studio, and we have Jeff Stevens, Director of Marketing for the Waterfall Resort. And as we know, the Waterfall, if it's not the, it's one of, and according to Jeff, it probably is the finest resort in all of Southeast Alaska. And the reason that it was picked to be where it is because the location was such that, go ahead and repeat that real quick.
Sure. The location of Waterfall Resort was originally a seafood cannery that was chosen based on the local legends of the amazing sport fishing, amazing fishing that was right off the shores there on the west coast of Prince of Wales Island. And there are a lot of reasons why the fishing is so spectacular right there at that location.
And so you fly into Ketchikan?
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I believe that the Delta now is starting to fly in. So it's not just Alaska. It's getting easier. And there's a little bit of competition going on to get up there. So it's so easy. You just fly into Ketchikan, take off in a float plane, or maybe spend the night and enjoy Ketchikan, and then fly on out. And
that's correct, yeah. Now, the Delta coming into the Ketchikan market has actually created a little bit of a price war we're seeing. So it's,
darn.
It's a great time to to go ahead and book flights into Ketchikan if that's of interest to you this summer.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. And the summer, the season is?
Well, the season typically runs for Waterfall Resort between early June to late August, and that really is timed by the salmon season. So we see the salmon runs coming in from the deep ocean right about that time. And, you know, Scott, do you want to talk a little bit about the different types of salmon that are out there and that we catch at Waterfall Resort and how they might be timed differently over the course of the summer?
Sure. Well, first off, Waterfall, we pretty much target three different types of salmon. We target the king salmon, also known as the Chinook, the coho salmon, which many people call the silver salmon, and also the pink salmon. Early in the season, usually starting in May, the king salmon will start moving into our area. This will continue until about mid-July, with the strongest runs being that mid-June, first week of July. So our guests that come up during that time frame are targeting pretty much straight kings, excellent fishing. And then as July starts rolling in, usually around the 1st of July through the 10th of July, we'll actually see a little overlap with the coho salmon or silver salmon moving in. And our strongest runs will start picking up about mid-July. So we get a little overlap where you get opportunity to target both species there in July, the kings and silvers. And then the pink salmon usually end up rolling in a little bit later in July and will continue through the end of the season. Please go ahead.
Well, I was going to say real quickly, you mentioned a couple different things. For some reason, every salmon has two names. Maybe you could clear up that confusion. Yeah, a lot more than two, depending on the Indians. But to clear up the confusion of what we're talking about, would you mind saying what those are?
Well, actually, every species of salmon has a lot more than two names.
I'm really confused.
There's the Chinook, Chinook salmon, which is commonly called king salmon, which some people call Springer, some people call Tyee. Some people call it blackmouth, and the list goes on and on. But the most common name is king salmon, but the true name is a Chinook salmon.
Okay, and then?
And the proper name for a silver salmon is called a coho, C-O-H-O, coho salmon. Little smaller than the king salmon, but a lot more acrobatic in the fight. And they're commonly known as silver salmon. And then there's the pink salmon, which is also nicknamed the humpy. They are a little smaller yet. But, yeah, it's all those species, actually. I mean, there's probably 10 different names that, depending on what location you're in, we'll call it something different.
Okay.
But the true names are Chinook, coho, and pink.
Right. And then, of course, the pink has a little hump on its back, so it's called a?
Well, called a humpy, correct.
Okay.
That happens primarily with the males during the spawning stage, right, as they're going up in the river.
And I don't know, you know, closer in, I don't know if you guys ever find them or not, but there's also a salmon that's every once in a while you see it on the store and it's really cheap in the grocery store. Well, there's a reason for that. And it is Alaskan salmon, but they don't really tell you what it is. And it's traditionally, I think, used to feed the sled dogs, hence it is called the...
You're talking about the chum salmon, which is also known as a dog salmon.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But also the dog salmon or chum salmon, as they reach maturity and start going into the fresh water, they develop large canine teeth. Mm-hmm. Very similar to the sheep head of Southern California, if you will.
Well, I'll tell you what, they are fun to catch, especially, you know, in the ocean. They're bulldogs.
I believe a chum salmon actually pulls harder than a silver salmon pound for pound.
And you mentioned the silver salmon. An interesting thing about them is if you've ever gone up there, you can almost always tell when you get a silver because as soon as it's hooked, it comes out of the water.
Very true. Yeah, they're much more acrobatic than most of the other salmon.
Mm-hmm.
On average, I've seen 60-pound king salmon jump out of the water thinking they're a silver salmon, but on the average, a silver salmon is much more acrobatic than any of the other salmon species we catch.
We actually see a number of guests that choose their dates to come to the resort based on what kind of salmon they want to catch.
Exactly.
And so the
silvers usually run, the kings are first and the silvers are later.
Right. And so we have our King Salmon Jackpot Challenge, which is a special tournament during our opening days where guests compete to see who catches the biggest king salmon. And then later on in the season when the silvers run, we actually have a couple of other programs as well. There's one point in time, actually, where the pink salmon will swim up the creek all the way up to the waterfall that the resort is named for. And so it's great to be able to go and see.
So you're out on your deck and you drop a line in the water.
Absolutely. We have a whole observation platform where you can see the black bears going out there and just having a feast on them. So it's a fun time.
Another thing is, if Scott, would you go through the life cycle of a salmon?
For the Chinook salmon, from the time that basically they're starting out, they're going to spend about a year to 18 months in the freshwater river systems. From there, they'll move downstream, spend about 6 months in estuaries and down at the mouth of the streams, and then they'll go out to sea. And the fish and game biologists, nobody's really sure what their full migration path is for each different run, for each river or anything else. I mean, they tag them, everything else, but it's like they vanish. And so they'll be gone for anywhere from a year to 7 years in the ocean before starting to return. It's when they're returning that are coming back towards the shore to feed that they're able to actually start tracking them again. But for a while, they disappear, and they're not sure where. Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, it is interesting because I've heard, you know, as you normally find them when they're coming back in to spawn. But, you know, they might be out there for, what, 2, 3 to 5 years? How long do they stay in the ocean?
Anywhere from 1 year to, I think, 8 years is what they say, but generally speaking, it's 4 to 5 years. That's right. What most systems are,
So when they come back in, that's when you see them. And where they go after that, nobody really knows for sure, huh?
Well, after you see them inside, they're coming back in the spawn.
But when they go out.
Where they are between the estuary and returning into the river system.
Right.
Yeah, nobody really knows where they go. And, you know, I imagine that's probably a good thing, because otherwise... You might find people targeting them year-round, you know, different user groups. And, you know, I'm not throwing net fishermen under the bus or anything, but, you know, it's easier to track fish.
Well, we're going to be up against a break here in about 20 seconds. And the other thing is that we've mentioned real quick is that when they go upstream and spawn, and they kind of float back down to the river, it creates a whole different ecosystem for the other wildlife. But we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Be sure and tune in to fishtalkradio.com and join us on Facebook at Fish Talk Radio. And we see if we can get some contests. Oh, there's always something going on. Give us a call. Be right back with you on Cork Fish Talk Radio.
It's time for the 69th Annual Fred Hall Show, the ultimate outdoor experience, March 4th to the 8th at the Long Beach Convention Center. The biggest fishing show, biggest boat show, biggest travel show, biggest outdoor recreation event of the year. It's the nation's number one show. Don't miss the Mammoth Licks Kids Fish Free Trout Pond, the Ram Ultimate Air Dogs, the Costa Sporting Chef Cafe, the Savage Deer Bass Tank, the Accurate Reels Saltwater Tank, Air Gun Ranges, Archery, Casting, and dozens of family fun activities. Over 400 continuous seminars presented by Progressive Insurance, Cousins Tackle, Hobie Kayaks, and the World Fishing Network. Enter to win a custom Sea of Cortez fishing trip to Rancho Leonero, a pair of Accurate fishing reels, or a Hobie Pro Angler Kayak. Kids free, kids fish free, active military free. The 69th Annual Fred Hall Show, March 4th through the 8th at the Long Beach Convention Center. Details at fredhall.com.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the pleasure of Jeff, who is the marketing manager for Waterfall, and I hear rumors that there might be something else involved in that, too. We'll talk about later. And then we also have Scott on the line, who is the director of operations, and he's that because he was such a successful guide up at Waterfall. And right before we left, we were talking a little bit about the life cycle of the salmon. So if you wouldn't mind, continue on that a little bit, Scott.
Okay, I think we were discussing the king salmon when we went to break. And basically, on the average, the fish are staying out in the ocean for 4 to 5 years before returning to their streams to spawn. That's like in our area, that's prime time. They're coming back and feeding on the bait fish, traveling up and down the west coast of Prince of Wales, feeding on the bait fish, and that's, you know, why we have our season when we do, because, you know, the fish are in the area chasing those bait fish. On to the coho salmon or the silver salmon. Basically, they're going to be in the fresh water for a year to 18 months, and from there, they're going to continue out in the ocean, and they're going to be gone for about another 2 years approximately. So they're going to be returning as three-year-old fish. Some of them will be returning as four-year-old fish, doing the same type of pattern. Everything's about bait fish. It's all about the amount of food that's in your area.
Isn't that always true?
It is. And as the bait fish move up and down the coast and areas that have the right topography to hold the bait fish in the different bays and, you know, what have you, outcroppings, that's the area that's going to hold your fish for a while. And that's what makes our area so fortunate.
Now, Scott, I've got a question. We're talking about the life cycle where they're born in freshwater. They go out to the ocean and spend, we're not really sure, could be, like you said, anywhere from 1 to 8 years, usually probably 3 to 5. And then they come back in. And what they have to do before they go upstream is that they have to build up enough energy and fat. So they can, you know, sometimes they'll go up, 800, 1,000 miles in up the streams?
Yes. I think the king salmon will go up as far as almost 1,000, but mm-hmm. I really don't know how far up the silver salmon and the other species go.
But normally when they get into fresh water, they stop feeding, right? So they have to, when they're out getting ready to go upstream, they're going to be, you know, stuffing themselves like, I guess, a bear in the fall.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is one of the reasons why we do the saltwater sport fishing at Waterfall Resort instead of doing the freshwater fishing for the salmon, because once they enter the stream, as you mentioned, they start losing their energy, losing their body mass. And if you're gonna eat the salmon that you catch,
a lot of oil. Yeah.
Absolutely. You want that when they were right at their peak.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
Absolutely.
But that's why. You know, it's such a great grounds because you've got the food there and these salmon are getting ready to go upstream. So they're voracious eaters.
Right at their peak. Yep.
And Scott, give us some ideas about how to catch. Let's go ahead and stay with the kings for right now. What methods you use? Do you use bait? Do you use artificial? Do you use downriggers? Give us an idea what you use.
Well, I can tell you what we use at Waterfall and at Steamboat Bay, which is actually different than what they use out of Ketchikan. On the west coast of Prince of Wales, the most popular way of fishing is actually using bait. We're using a herring that has been, we call it cut plug. Essentially, the head's cut off at an angle, and then we thread a double hook set up through it. So as that bait is pulled through the water, it actually spins. And the idea behind it is to act like an injured bait fish.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a small outboard motor going, known as a kicker engine. And it's just enough to let us work the different edges and the different structure that we're hoping is holding bait fish and the larger king salmon. And we're working that bait from the surface to all the way down to the bottom and then back up. We found that it works better by dropping it down and winding it up, dropping back down, just because you're working the whole water column. If you just put your rod into a rod holder and say you have it at 60 feet and you're 90 feet of water or 120 feet of water, you're only covering that one small area mm-hmm. of the water column. So by keeping it moving, you're actually moving much more through the
good
whole water column.
Good tips.
Now, seems to work a lot better.
So is this with a downrigger or with the weight that you put on it?
No, we do not use downriggers. I really don't know anybody on the west coast of Prince of Wales, and well, at least in our within 40 miles each way of us, that really use downriggers. Everyone's mooching. We're
just
using a 4 ounce
slicker.
Torpedo weight.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it keel weight, banana weight, and about a 6 to 8 foot leader coming off of that.
And Scott, the fishing the whole water column is one of the things that our guests do, because in addition to the king salmon and the silver salmon, there's more than 20 different varieties of sport fish that they can catch. And so you may as well, if you got your hook in the water, you may as well go for as many as you can, right?
I guess
what he likes.
But it's kind of disheartening when you're trying to target king salmon and
you're coming up
with rockfish or miscellaneous other species, because you know, at that point, your heart is set on catching something that's really going to pull hard and bite, and, you know, that dream salmon, that sure. big king salmon, and you're catching, you know, whether it's a halibut or a rockfish, a minkod, what have you.
Yeah, it's,
know,
a, so it's a rough time.
I kind of sound a little hesitant, like, oh, yeah, I guess. Because,
you know, we know what you want.
Yeah, it's so, a rough time
so
when you...
people want to target the different salmon.
It's a rough time when you have to catch...
There's so many rockfish and halibut and stuff like that that it's never an issue. I'm going out and trying to
let's kind of diverse a little bit. I tell you what, if you hook into a big ling... and I've heard of them called the Lingosaurus, mm-hmm. you know, where this thing's 4 feet long and its head's a foot wide, and it looks like something out of Jurassic Park. They are very, very tasty, and they, you know, they're a lot of fun to pull on. So, you know, you get into one of those, which you don't find too much down here because they don't get much pressure up there. And then, of course, the halibut, do you go out targeting halibut?
Do we? Yes, we do at times. Mm-hmm. We fish halibut all the time, but so often we catch them, like what was just mentioned, when you're fishing salmon, you catch
really?
Incidentals in between, that you don't have to make your runs offshore because you caught them closer in. So, but no, there's quite often that we'll actually pack up the gear and head out and try and for bigger halibut.
Scott, waterfall's been there, I think you said, about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed a difference in the fishing due in particular to the commercial catch of the larger halibut and some of the other things? Have you noticed a difference?
Well, that's an interesting question. I might get in trouble with a lot of my sport fishing buddies and what have you. I don't place the blame on the commercial fishermen. I say, have I seen a change in the size of fish? Yes, I have. Do I think it's the commercial fishermen's fault? No. I think it's all our fault.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, you know, the commercial fishermen take fish, but they're restricted by quotas. Their quotas have been cut back over the years, just the same as the sport/charter fishermen. And we're all going out there and catching fish. So I think we all have an equal responsibility in what has happened to the fishery.
Well, I can remember a time when you go down to Cabo and you catch a big marlin and you bring it in, hang it up, and you walk away. Okay, and you used to kill two marlin a day per boat. And then in Alaska, of course, everybody wants a 300-pounder. But, I'd have a real problem because I love to catch halibut and eat them. But when you get a halibut that's, you know, let's say 150 or more, or, you know, 200 or 300, it could be 75 or 90 years old that's had millions of eggs. It'd be a tough, it's a tough one.
Actually, that information is not exactly correct.
Okay.
According to IPHC, which is the International Pacific Halibut Commission, a 27-year-old female can weigh 450 pounds.
Holy smokes.
So the halibut, to say they're like 75 to 90 years old, that's incorrect. They're not that slow growing like that when it comes to the female species. The males rarely get over 90 pounds. It's the females that grow larger, which is, you know, fairly
now,
common
don't they,
in the fishery.
Aren't they amorphic? Don't the males turn into females after a certain point?
Negative.
Oh, that's another myth.
Not from what I've read from the different.
Okay. I guess the point is we're going to be up against another break, but the point is, if you get a bigger fish, it's a female, it's brooding stock, and although it might be impressive to hang it up, you don't want to take those out of the water and kill them.
Right. Well, yeah, I know we're going to break, but if you like, I can respond.
Okay.
To
no, we can do
the
that.
Latest.
There you go.
Latest halibut information.
That's what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll do that because I want to know, and that's what's so fun about this show is I get to learn something every week, and we are listening, of course, to Fish Talk Radio, and we have some very interesting expert gentleman from Waterfall Resort. And if there's anything else that you want to know about Pacific salmon, we're still here, and we got more time to cover it. So go to fishtalkradio.com, listen to the show as many times as you like, as much as you want, and join us on Facebook. So we'll be right back on Fish Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Bart Hall, and I've got great news. The most powerful and critically acclaimed national anglers' rights organization is coming to California. The Coastal Conservation Association works to conserve marine resources and anglers' access to them. CCA Cal is just beginning. If you join us at the Fred Hall shows, you'll get into the show for free, receive vouchers worth over $150, and be entered into drawings worth thousands of dollars. It's the right thing to do, and it's a great value. Come join us at the Fred Hall show March 4th through the 8th at the Long Beach Convention Center. Protect California fishing.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Big old trout, big just old as trout. Cool as the evening shade. Well, I toss my line and I haul it.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hannigan in studio, and with sitting me in studio, with me sitting in studio, is that right? Anyway, we have Jeff from Waterfall Resort, and we also have Scott, who is Director of Operations and an expert catching salmon. But right now we're going to go to a little bit warmer water all the way down to the Sea of Cortez side of Baja California Sur at one of the premier, now, Waterfall, if you're looking for kings, that's where to go. But the East Cape of Baja, you know, is probably one of the best, especially year-round and value. It's got to be one of the best things going. And, of course, the Van Wormer Resorts, in particular the Palmas de Cortez, is my favorite. And sitting there right now looking out over the water, I believe, is Eddie.
Hey, guys.
There you go. Well, it's the season is, let's just say, warming up, and we got the, you're going to be hitting the road here again at a lot of the expositions, and hopefully we'll see you there. I know we're going to see you at the Hall Show in Long Beach. Matter of fact, we have Bart Hall that's going to be coming on in a couple of minutes. But give us an idea about how the season is shaping up for the East Cape of Baja.
Oh, you know, we're looking to have a great season this year. It really seems reservations have really picked up. A lot of people want to get down here. The fishing has been pretty good, you know, for right now. We're kind of in our off season, but even, you know, in the Sea of Cortez, even in the off season, we're catching a lot of fish. A little bit different than what most people are accustomed to, because most people come down summer and fall for fishing down here. But winter and spring brings a different kind of fishing, and we're mostly doing some bottom fishing right now. There is a little bit of surface fishing, but we're mostly going after the cabrillas and the pargos, your huachilangos, which are your true red snappers, amberjack. We're going after African pompano, things like that. And then we're getting a little bit of action on the surface with some dorados and rooster fish as well, and we even had last week a small tuna that came up about an hour south of the resort.
Well, that's, and again, last year was a very unusual year. This year, now there's no such thing as normal, I think, but this year is it looking about the same as last year, or is it looking more like what we used to consider normal for as far as the weather patterns and the water temperature?
No, you know, I think we need to get used to the new normal. You know, the water temperatures have definitely warmed up down here. Last year, we had a super El Nino year, is what they called it. And, you know, we're definitely seeing some warmer waters down here all of last year. And from all the reports that I've seen for 2015, it looks like it's going to be a lot more of the same. We're definitely going to get some warmer waters. So we might see a lot earlier fishing, you know, with the species that normally will come in, you know, late June, July are going to come in a little bit earlier. Last year we saw our first good tuna bite was in April, and it was, you know, off and on throughout April, May, and June until we kind of settled in to the summer season. So we did see a little bit of an earlier season, so that's something to keep in mind if you're looking to book. You might want to look at doing some fishing in April, May, June. Some of the best weather that we have down here in the East Cape is during that time, that spring, early summertime. For me, you know, it's perfect. You know, 80s is the high, 60s is the low, not too hot, not too cold, just about perfect. And water temperatures are going to be pushing, you know, upper 70s, low 80s, you know, earlier. So definitely keep that in mind when you're planning your trip.
Well, especially if you're from the upper Midwest, Great Lakes, or the East Coast, might as well get on down there.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, and late fall is a great time, too. John, you know, you come down a lot in November. And even in November down here, you know, a lot of places get cold and windy. And, you know, November down here, you're looking at upper 80s.
Well, I like November because the fishing is still really good, but the weather is warm, but it's the water temperature is down into the high to mid-80s.
Exactly, yeah. You can't
anyway,
it's a really
hey, Eddie, do you mind if we bring Bart Hall on? I'm sure you guys might have a couple of things to talk about. And, of course, It is that time of the year. I know you're going to be at the Bart Hall Show in Long Beach. So, Bart, do we have you on the line?
Yeah. Hi, John. How are you?
Fantastic. And we're having a lot of fun. Of course, we've got Eddie on the line, which I'm sure you've known for many years. One of your people that always goes to the Hall Show because it's so much fun and so successful. Give us an idea what you got this year.
This is going to be a very interesting year. This is the first year in the last 6 years that the Hall family has the ownership again. We repurchased it in partnership with Duncan McIntosh of a publisher and a producer.
That's the newspaper and the boat show guy, right?
Yeah. It's Sea Magazine, The Log, and the Newport Boat Show, among other things. And together we repurchased the shows. So it's a family affair again, and my son and sisters are involved, and so it's kind of a fun deal. But it's been a really great year because this is, as you know, the best fishing year that anyone can remember in history. And the same thing has happened to us. It's we've never been sold out so early, and we're in a position right now as we're sitting here turning down exhibitors that we'd love to have. So,
well, for the people, you know, you're reaching people from New York, Florida, and I'll tell you what, if you're thinking of coming to Southern California for, you know, just to go to the show, but if you're thinking of coming for any reason, you don't want to miss. This is, give us some stats about, I believe it's one of or the largest fresh or salt boating retail show. Give it. What are the?
Let me tell it, John. I got all that down.
Okay. I know.
So it's the world's largest consumer fishing show. So wherever you are, we got something bigger than what you've seen. It's California's largest boat show. It's one of California's largest travel shows and the finest hunting show in Southern California. There's a lot of other stuff going on. We have dive and we have off-road and we have even wakeboarding and skiing and all that stuff. But it's called the Fred Hall Show. It's the ultimate outdoor experience because there's so much going on. Can't just say it's fishing, boating, hunting. It's all of the above. And it takes up an enormous space, the entire Long Beach Convention Center, all the grounds around outside. And then we repeat the same process down in San Diego, where we take up nearly 800,000 square feet and do the same thing all over again. So it's a big undertaking. Small staff, and we're really busy.
I'm sure you are right now. And the dates are?
The dates are March 4th through the 8th for Long Beach, March 26th to the 29th for Del Mar.
So the beginning and the end of March. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I was trying to remember it, but there's no way I could remember all that stuff that you got there. And
no,
it's fun for a lot of reasons.
To talk about, too. I mean, mm-hmm. When we do an ad, it's impossible. There's so many things going on.
Exactly.
You know, our business model is that we provide a full day of family fun activities. Well, I start listing them, they take two pages. I mean, if I start talking about them, we'll be out of time.
Hey, Eddie, you're going to the show. Why do you guys go?
You know, it's one of the best shows that we do all year. We book more people at that show than any other show. So as an exhibitor, I can tell you that for us, it's a must-do. We have to be there. We have a lot of clients that already come down to the resort that go to that show that we need to say hi to and meet and greet. And we get a lot of new clients from there. And it's by far the biggest, most attended show that we do. So it's a definite must for both consumers and exhibitors to be there.
Right. Well, obviously, if you're from, you know, Central or Southern California, it's a no-brainer. But again, if you're going to be visiting the area or if you don't mind traveling a little bit, because this is not just, you don't want to go to Disneyland for one afternoon. And when you go to the Hall Show, you should plan on at least 2 days, because just to walk through it will take 2 days.
Well, there's going to be, you know, nearly 1,000 booths, and there's hundreds of boats, and we'll do 400 seminars in the 5 days, over 400 seminars, actually. Of course, we have the Mammoth Lakes Kids Fish Free Trout Pond. We have Hopi doing kayak demonstrations, and not just demonstrations. They'll give you lessons on the Hyatt Lagoon. We have casting on the lagoon but with the vet in Shimano. We have air gun ranges, archery ranges, soft air ranges, laser shot stuff, the Great American Duck Races, the Ram Ultimate Air Dogs. I mean, really, literally, you can come and spend all day. We have Jack Dagger, the King of Fling, the world's greatest knife thrower. We keep you busy all day. We keep the kids busy. This is a show that when you say you're going to the Fred Hall Show, the kids go, oh, yo, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you have to drag them. You have to drag them away from it.
It is exciting, Bart. And one of the things I like about it is when you go there, you're not just meeting some low-level sales rep that showed up just to do that show. The principals are there. The owners of these lodges and operations are there. And you get to talk to them face-to-face. And so you get the real story.
Mm-hmm. For me, that's my favorite part of the show, John, is that, you know, I've been burned many times online looking for a place to stay. Everything looks great on the Internet, mm-hmm. but when you get there, it's not that way, but when you come to the show, you get to meet the people who you're going to be spending your money with. You get to talk with them, shake their hands. It makes a huge difference.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely for sure. Well, Bart, we're going to be bringing you back on the next 2 weeks, and we'll kind of elaborate on that. But we appreciate, like you said, you know, your time is very busy right now, so we're going to let you go. But that's March 4th in Long Beach, and the 28th, did you say, in Del Mar?
26th to the 29th in Del Mar and 4th to the 8th in Long Beach.
Okay, and it's easy to find at the Long Beach Convention Center. Go ahead and go to the website, get your tickets, and if you look around, you might find some specials on ways to get in and benefit some different organizations.
Yes, if you join the new Coastal Conservation Association of California, you will get in for free, and you'll get $150 worth of vouchers to use inside the show, and you'll be entered into prizes to win prizes worth thousands of dollars.
Great.
So that's the new hot thing right now. GCA Cal. Yeah.
Right, Bart, congratulations, because the Fred Hall Show is started by your dad, and I'm glad to see that it's all back in the same family.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate
okay.
that.
All righty. Well, we've got just a little bit of quick to wrap things up. Eddie, how do we get in touch with Van Wormer Resorts in Palmas de Cortez?
You can visit our website at vanwormerresorts.com, or you can call us at a very easy number to remember, 877-777-TUNA.
I got that one down. Chucky told me. 877-777-TUNA. And then, of course, you can also go to fishtalkradio.com and click on it from there. But we appreciate that, Eddie, and we're going to be seeing you real soon. Hope it's a great year, and we appreciate having you on. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we're having a great time. We're going to have to end this segment right now, but we enjoyed you tuning in. And make sure you visit us on Facebook, and I think we're going to have some contests going on the website. So, talk to you real soon.